I was on Maui, and I gave a talk at this particular church, this Unity Church on Maui, which is something that I do every year after we spend our summers there, if we can, with all the children. And it's this, to me, Maui represents a very spiritual place, a consciousness. And I gave a talk, and a very striking lady was in the church, and she had like a turban around her head, and she came up to me, and she said, "My name is Gail Longy, and my husband owns Longy's Restaurant on Maui in Lahaina, very famous restaurant, very well-known, big portions, great place." And I'd been there many, many times, and I said, "Oh, it's really great to meet you." She said, "I really loved what you had to say." She said, "On Wednesday, we are having a guest at our house. Would you like to come?" And I said, "Well, who is it?" She said, "Well, his name is Mauricio. And if you read Shirley MacLaine's book, Going Within, which is a book about meditation," she said, "in chapter 14, she describes who he is." And I said, "I've read that book, and I remember now." And I just had sort of, and I went back, and I happened to have it there with me, and I read the whole chapter. And in there, she describes this particular man. It was very intriguing when I read that chapter, but I must admit that when I read it, I wondered if maybe Shirley hadn't slipped over the edge a little bit or gone way out on a limb as she wrote about it. And she tells this whole story of Mauricio and these lights. And I had that skepticism, that doubt that I've been talking to you about ridding yourself of. And it was very much present as I was reading that. And yet, I have come to a point where I really know within me that nothing is impossible. In that unified field, all things are possible. And so I was in the process of putting together my thoughts for this Real Magic. It was right at the time when I was writing the outline and when I had this inner kind of dialogue with myself that I mentioned earlier about how I would proceed to write a book about creating miracles and how would I proceed to talk about this on tapes and then who was I, and the inner dialogue always seemed to come back that you will have the answers. They will show up for you. So 9 o'clock Wednesday came, and we drove over to Gail and Bob Longy's house, and Bob was outside with his son and a couple of other people, and he said Mauricio was already there. And he said, he's up in our bedroom right now, and he said that Mauricio is with Gail's mother. And he said, "Come on out on the patio." And it was dark, and we looked out on the patio, and he said, "Watch in the room." So we could see the lights from where we were standing on the patio. And all of a sudden, the light in this dark room went off like lightning was striking in the room. And Bob, who is sort of a coarse, wonderful guy, but he's got his own vocabulary that is a bit rough, you might say, he just was overflowing with enthusiasm and excitement and saying things like, "This is, if you think that this is fake," he said, "I had this whole room checked out. I brought this." This guy's in. He says, "In my bedroom. This is no way that this thing can be artificial." He said, So we went back into the room inside, and maybe 15 minutes later, Gail's mother came down the stairs, and she was in a fog. She was almost like she was drugged. It was a very strange thing, but a very, very like peaceful look on her. And I had met her before at the church, and she looked right past me, and she walked into another part of the house, and I said to her, "Well, what was it like?" And she said, "I can't describe it. It was just wonderful." And she just disappeared. And we were going to go next, but Mauricio then came down the stairs, and he was a short man, stocky build, approximately 60 years old. He had a T-shirt on that was soaked in this mane of white hair and very, very peaceful looking. He was 60, but he had no lines on his face at all. And he spoke Portuguese, very, very little English. And he knew of my, because my books have been published in Brazil in Portuguese, and he knew of me, but we hadn't met. And he came over and he warmly shook my hand, but he was soaking wet. I mean, dripping, soaking wet. He had to take his shirt off and it could literally wring it out and put another T-shirt on. And I said, thank you very much. And he said, no thank me, God's work, something to that effect. And he said, just go upstairs. And he said, I'll take about 15 minutes. And he came and went into the kitchen, and he came back with a gallon thing of water, and he drank the entire thing of water. This was like a gallon of water. He drank the whole thing, just consumed. And after about 15 minutes, he said, come with me. And we walked upstairs into the bedroom. My wife and I decided to do this together so that we could really corroborate each other's experience. And as we proceeded up the stairs, and we were both full of anticipation and excitement. My heart was beating fast. And it was such a beautiful room. It had a moon roof, and you could see the stars, and you could see the moon. Just, it was a clear, beautiful night. It was in August, I believe. And as we laid down across the bed holding hands, Mauricio walked into the room, and he put on some very, very soft, beautiful music. And he came up behind my wife's head, and he put his hands on her forehead. And he asked us both to close our eyes and just to experience it. Now, I just said, I'm not closing my eyes. I didn't say anything, but I didn't close my eyes. I said, there's no way I'm closing my eyes while I'm in here. I am going to see everything that is going on. I'm going to experience this, the full ramifications of it. I want to know every detail. I want to see it all. My wife closed her eyes. She did what she was told. And he put his hands on her forehead, and he said, energia, 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 like that. And as he said that, he snapped his fingers, just took his hands on it, snapped his fingers, like, and the room lit up. The room just lit up, and it came, like, right out of his body. And there was these bright lights in the room. And then they went off. It was like a flash of lightning. Then he came over to me, and he put his hand on my forehead, and his hand was hot. I mean, hot, almost like burning. And it was very, very peaceful. And he put one hand on my forehead, and he again did the same thing. Energia, energia, energia. And as he said, the third energia, like that, the light came out, and I felt it come right out of, like, right out of my forehead and right out of his hands. And the light was just, the room was a bright, bright light. There were no tricks here. There was no, there were no batteries. There were no gadgets, anything like that. And if you don't believe that, or if you believe in the skepticism, then that will be your experience of it. To me, I know I was there, and Bob Longhi, I know real well, and he was filled with assurances that he had escorted him in there, and nothing was there in his own bedroom. So this went on for 15 minutes, which is an eternity. And I had fallen like 3 days before on a slippery rock, taking the kids to this park, and I had a real bad cut on the shin of my left leg, and it was at that time it was scabbing over, and it was very painful. I was walking around with a little bit of a limp and overdoing it a little, but it was a pretty bad scrape. And he put one hand on my knee and the other hand on my ankle, my instep, and he just said the same thing with the energia, energia, and this light just came right out of him and right out into the whole room. And it was like I felt an energy going through my entire body. Well, this went on for 10, 15 minutes, and it became very, very, very gently, harmoniously, perfectly, exquisitely peaceful in there, just like we were in the presence of some divine being. It was just so magnificent. Nothing, I could never describe exactly what it was like, because it's beyond words. There are no words to describe what the atmosphere in that room was like. It became very light and like the incredible lightness of being, just soft and gentle and peaceful and easy and right. And it was like what I've heard people describe in Raymond Moody's books and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross when they talk about these near-death experiences, where they go into the light and they become a part of it. And it's bliss. It's 100% pure, unadulterated bliss. And that was how we felt. Now, this went on for 15 minutes, and Mauricio, by this time, was just sweating bullets again. He was soaking wet, and he was such a peaceful, loving man. And then he left the room. He said, stay there for about 5 minutes. Don't get up too fast. And then he said, just come downstairs. So my wife and I we were still holding hands, and we were just incredulous, but we couldn't even speak. It was such a blissful experience. Finally, after about 5 minutes, we just sort of got up and had that real woozy, light feeling, and we came gliding down the stairs, just like Gail's mother had about an hour or so before. And Mauricio was down there gulping more water. He was also going to be with one more person that evening. at that time, we had a little baby, Sage, and she was, I think, about 9 months old, so Marcy was nursing her. And when Marcy nurses her children, she's very in tune with them, very connected to them, that intuitive kind of sense with them. And our teenage daughter, Stephanie, was babysitting, and she was having trouble with the baby. So when we came downstairs, and people, of course, were coming up saying, what was it like? We saw the lights. We go outside, and we all that. And neither one of us could talk. Somehow this bliss just kept us from being able to describe it. And I went over and got a pad of paper and wrote down notes because I knew I wanted to describe this. I wanted to write about it, and I wanted it to be exactly accurate. So I wrote down the date, the time, the experience, and what we were experiencing. And the phone rang, and it was Stephanie calling, and she said, is my mother there? And Marcy went over to the phone and picked up the phone, and Stephanie said, you've got to come home now. You've got to come home. The baby's just crying. And Marcy said, baby? What about the baby? Now, this was just a different person altogether. And as a matter of fact, her appearance changed when she came down the stairs. Her very physical appearance was different. I'd never seen her face shaped that way or look that way. There was such a clarity and such a pronouncement of her bone structure and everything. I'd never, either she changed or my perceptions of her were so sharpened that I was seeing something I'd never seen in her before. And her response was, Stephanie, you're just going to have to take care of it yourself. And Stephanie's going, well, who is this? This isn't my mother I'm talking to. And she said, I'm sorry, you'll have to take it. And she just put the phone down very gently and just came over. She said, Stephanie will handle it. She hardly even remembers having said that. And we drove home that evening, and we were talking about the experience, and I had written down the notes, and I said, you know, I'm now going to start writing about miracles. I said, if this isn't a miracle, I don't know what it is. I've never felt anything like this before. It's like it totally transformed our lives and our relationship changed. I mean, so many things. Just the way we were talking to each other was much more gentle and much more caring. And I got home and I went in. I was taking a shower and I came out of the shower and I looked at my leg and there was no scab there. It had all just sort of healed over. I mean, it was just, you could hardly tell that I had had this rather severe injury. I mean, it was really cut up pretty badly. And I noticed that I wasn't limping anymore at all. It wasn't favoring it, I should say, any longer. And I just couldn't get that somehow this thing had happened. The experience with Mauricio Panisette was very real. And as I reread that chapter 14 in Going Within, I saw that what Shirley had described in there was very similar to what we had just experienced, that there are beings who have this very special divine guidance. And even as I think of the words that Christ said of, even the least among you can do all that I have done, and even greater things. That's a paraphrase of what Christ had said. I began to take those words literally and see them in there, that we have within us very special purpose while we're here, and that we can access that and go in there and find that. I left that experience with a profound absence of judgment since that happened. I have never doubted that anything was possible for a human being to experience since that time of going through that. It was the most profound personal interactive experience with miracles occurring right there, with the ability to do things that I just thought were not possible for human beings to do. I mean, how do you get lights? This man had scars, little burns on his body from these lights that had come out, and I could see, he said they were so intense. He was put in prison in Brazil. Because they were just afraid of this kind of, and they took all of his clothes away from him, and they put him in the prison cell, and they said, there, now, if you, let's see you do your lights now. And sure enough, all the prisoners, he was doing it right in the cell. He had some kind of magnificent, special power, and he has committed his life to healing, to using this, whatever this is, whatever this phenomenon is, and he's been examined by physicians, and he's had all the skeptics look at it, and no one can explain what it is that he is doing. But I, Wayne Dyer, and my wife, Marcy Dyer, we were there, we were in the room, we experienced it, and we have that knowing. And there's nothing, no matter how many people are doubtful, no matter how much skepticism might come at me as a result of my sort of coming out of the closet, if you will, and telling that story, could ever take away that knowing. It's a powerful, powerful knowing.